Hello, it's Wednesday, February 22nd, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. Now, anybody that goes to the Wing TV homepage will see an announcement that tomorrow night, that's Thursday, February 23rd, Professor Jim Fetzer, David Ray Griffin, and also Morgan Reynolds are going to appear on George Norrie's Coast to Coast AM radio show. Now, we know in the past, invariably, that every time George Norrie gets a 9/11 researcher on his show, it ends up being a disaster. The last example, of course, was Eric Hufschmidt.
And it always ends up being some sort of infomercial product.
Yeah, right. So what we're going to do today on Wing TV is a mock interview where Lisa is going to portray George Norrie while I'm going to be Professor Jim Fetzer. Now remember, this is a mock interview.
Right, and we're not trying to sound like George Norrie and Professor Fetzer. We know damn well that I don't sound like George Norrie.
And I don't sound like Professor Jim Fetzer. So as we said, it's a mock interview. So
basically, we just want the interview to go more along these lines than along the lines they have typically gone.
Right, so these are the main points that we think should be brought up in the interview tomorrow night. So take a listen. We hope you enjoy it.
Off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. Across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. What a program we have for you tonight. In our first hour, we welcome a very compelling guest, James Fetzer. He's a distinguished professor of philosophy at McKnight University in Duluth, Minnesota, a former Marine Corps officer, the author and editor of more than 20 books dealing largely with political conspiracies, including those surrounding the JFK assassination and the death of U.S. Senator Paul Wellstone. He's also the founder and co-chair of a recently formed group of academians and professionals known as Scholars for 9/11 Truth. This organization is questioning the official, widely accepted version of the events of 9/11. Professor, welcome to Coast AM.
George, it's great to be here, and I'd like to thank you for welcoming onto your show.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Professor, recently we have been privy to an audio tape in which Osama bin Laden has said he will never be captured.
George, let me break in here for a second. We have to get one thing perfectly clear. We're talking about 9/11 tonight, and Osama bin Laden had absolutely nothing to do with the planning, the coordination, or the execution of 9/11. The whole thing is a ruse. So I think to start this interview off, we should get that perfectly clear right from the start, okay?
Well, but I'm curious. Why can't the authorities seem to catch this mastermind of the 9/11 terror attacks? I mean, he is the mastermind of the terror attacks of 9/11. And what about his notorious terrorist group, Al-Qaeda?
George, let me reiterate again. Osama bin Laden didn't do 9/11. Osama bin Laden wasn't the one that did it. 9/11, as we have proved in our group through the work of Professor Stephen E. Jones, also Morgan Reynolds, also David Ray Griffin, and so much other research out there, it's been conclusively proven that Osama bin Laden was not the man behind 9/11, nor was Al-Qaeda. It wasn't 19 Arab hijackers. This was an inside job. This was a cabal within our own government, along with assistance from external sources. This wasn't done by Osama bin Laden. I hope that's perfectly clear right now.
Well, but I'm still a little confused, because we're told that Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden are planning even more terrorist events, and that the weapons of mass destruction have now been moved to Syria.
George, Osama didn't do 9/11. How many more times do we have to say this? I've heard your shows before, George, when you've had guests on talking about 9/11, and it seems like every single time they end up going down this rabbit hole which you lead them down. It always seems to be Osama bin Laden. Or you talk about some kind of moon hoaxes or pods on an air, whatever it is, George. Osama bin Laden was not the mastermind behind 9/11. It was an inside job. And I hope that we can move beyond this now and really start getting into the relevant information about 9/11, because physics has proven that it was physically impossible for Osama bin Laden and his ragtag bunch of cave dwellers to be the masterminds behind this black operation.
Okay.
Well, is that clear, George?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Tell us about Scholars for 9/11 Truth. How and why did this group form?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, George. Then, to start off tonight, I'd first like to thank all of the researchers and the activists and the media personalities who have been here since day one. They're the ones who laid the foundation. They're the ones who laid the groundwork, which has basically enabled the rest of us, Scholars for 9/11 Truth, to be here today. And I just want to start off by thanking them for what they've done, because they've essentially paved the way for the rest of us. And it's been a long journey. There's been thousands and thousands of hours. So I'd like to thank them. Also, how did this get formed? Well, I think the pivotal event really occurred last fall when Professor Stephen E. Jones from Brigham Young University wrote an extensive paper about the World Trade Center towers how they were demolished. And what he basically said, his exact words were, that these towers came down via pre-planted explosives. And he said it's very unlikely that this was performed or executed by Arab terrorists.
But what about the fires and the plane impacts?
Well, there's so much research out there about that, George, that, you know, hopefully later on in the show we can cover all of this material. But once Professor Jones came out with his report, earlier last year, Morgan Reynolds, who was actually a member of the Bush administration during their first term, he was in the Labor Department, he came out with a 10 or 12 page report that said that the World Trade Center towers could have only been demolished via a controlled demolition. We also have the work of David Ray Griffin, of course, plus all of the other independent researchers. So once these reports started having wide access across the internet and even breaking into the mainstream media, there was a large rally last year at Ground Zero, and all of us professors started coming together, and we formed this group hopefully to increase awareness and take it even beyond that.
Are you saying that this involved incompetence and negligence on the part of high-level government officials?
I'm glad you asked that, George, because that's another thing we need to make perfectly clear tonight. This wasn't incompetence on the part of the government. This wasn't negligence on the part of the government. And there's some researchers and some groups that like to put these limited hangouts there. And what this essentially does is it shifts responsibility away from the government. So what they're basically trying to say is that, oh, no, the government may have overlooked a few things. But here's the bottom line. This was an inside job that was planned and executed by a cabal within our own government. It wasn't incompetence. It wasn't negligence. Our government is the ones that did this against its own citizenry, and I want everyone to return to the morning of September 11th. Can you remember the sheer panic, the hatred, the anger that you felt that morning?
The fear.
The fear that everybody felt that morning. Well, all of this energy was misdirected against 19 cave dwellers that were flashed up on our television screen.
Well, wait a minute, Professor. Aren't you asking the public to accept the idea that their own government has been involved in a massive conspiracy to kill its own people? Why hasn't the mainstream media been investigating these inconsistencies in the story?
George,
it's true.
George, that's exactly what I'm asking the American people to accept. That's exactly what I'm saying. And it's not like 9/11 was the first time this was ever done. If you go back to Pearl Harbor, we have absolute 100% conclusive proof that Franklin Delano Roosevelt, along with Winston Churchill, knew at least 11 or 12 days before Pearl Harbor that the Japanese were going to attack. We had broken their code. We knew it was going to happen, yet they stood by and allowed thousands of our own sailors in Pearl Harbor to be killed. If we go back to Oklahoma City, George, we know now 100% conclusively that there were bombs inside the building. We know the Elohim City connection. We know from the testimony of Brigadier General Ben Parton that if there was an Anfo bomb in the Ryder truck outside of the Alfred P. Murrah building, all it would have done was broken a few windows in a building, and that's it. This was also a black op inside job tied directly to the United States government.
Well, you're asking people to swallow a lot here. What would you say is the most important aspect of 9/11, of the official version of events that deviates from the official explanation of the story?
Good question, George. The first thing, the most vital aspect of 9/11 is that World Trade Center Building Number 1, World Trade Center Building Number 2, and World Trade Center Building Number 7 were all felled via a controlled demolition, or as Professor Jones says, pre-planted explosives. These buildings were wired weeks or even months in advance of 9/11, proving that this wasn't something that just happened at random, out of the blue, that nobody had any awareness of whatsoever. These buildings were wired. The second most important thing we have to remember is that there was no plane at the Pentagon, or I should clarify, there was no Flight 77 at the Pentagon. And last but not least, there has been a massive hoax perpetrated around the Shanksville crash landing, or should I say shooting down of Flight 93. And what we've discovered is that Flight 93 actually wasn't, or something purporting to be Flight 93, didn't actually even land in Shanksville. All that we have there is a big 10-foot wide by 10-foot deep crater.
Well, there's a lot of questions regarding that. I mean, what about the hijackers? What about the cell phone calls? What about the fight between the passengers and the hijackers?
Right.
Are you saying these things didn't happen the way the government says they did?
Well, George, anyone that does any research whatsoever on cell phone technology knows that in the year 2001, it was physically impossible to make a cell phone call from 30,000 feet, as the government alleges. It was also physically impossible for many of these quote-unquote hijackers to commandeer these aircraft. Hani Hanjour was nicknamed Dumb and Dumber. This guy was barely able to even drive an automobile, let alone commandeer a 757. So right there we know for a fact that none of these things could have happened.
Well, we've had military and DOD experts call into our show, both Art Bell and I, in the past, and they have repeated their eyewitness reports that a plane did actually hit the Pentagon. Are you refuting those reports?
Absolutely I am, because
based upon what?
Well, if you look at a lot of the research done by individuals like Jerry E. Smith and also Richard Stanley, there's first of all the physical evidence. Physical evidence always trumps out eyewitness testimony. And all we have to do...
Are you saying those people can't be trusted because they're affiliated with the government?
Well,
are they plants?
Most of these... Yes, I would say that. I would say that very adamantly, George, because what we're finding is that most of these individuals who said they saw Flight 97 hitting the Pentagon...
77, you mean?
Or Flight 77, I'm sorry, hitting the Pentagon, were either members of the Pentagon, the CIA, or from the defense industry itself. And these are the individuals that have the most to gain from covering up this story or putting forth false testimony.
Well, let me answer this. We have a caller, our first-time caller line. This is Coast to Coast AM. Caller, where are you calling from and what's your name?
Yeah, this is Dan calling from Topeka, Kansas.
Hi, Dan.
I have a question for Professor Fetzer.
Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, I heard an interview you did last year where you appeared with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani regarding their book 9/11 on Trial.
We are not going to go there, folks. There will be no mention of Victor Thorne or Lisa Giuliani on this program. I'm sorry, Professor Fetzer, for that interruption.
What was he asking about, George?
Just some conspiracy theorists.
Oh, okay.
Let's get back to what we were talking about. Most people would find the notion of the U.S. government's involvement in a plot to kill its own people to be very offensive, let alone preposterous. How would you explain this to people?
I find it offensive that people that call themselves American citizens, that say they love this country, that say they would do anything to defend this country, this is the most important, this is the most egregious attack that's ever been waged or committed against the citizens of this country. If we don't give a damn, if we don't care enough to find out who was the true perpetrators behind this, George, if that doesn't matter to people, what does? What does matter to people?
Well, that's a very good question. But what about World Trade Center Building Number 7? I know that there's been a lot of controversy swirling around that building's collapse. Are you saying the government collapsed that building as well?
Well, absolutely. This building didn't fall until 5:20 p.m. in the afternoon. Now, there's people out there that are saying that this building should have fallen earlier, that it should have fallen within an hour or so of when WTC-1 and WTC-2 fell. And do you know, George, the reasoning behind that? Well,
what?
The reason is that if we go back to that morning, when the buildings fell, the entirety of Lower Manhattan was filled with smoke. It was filled from dust from the concrete. You essentially couldn't see anything. So when the Twin Towers fell, wouldn't it have been a perfect opportunity to also bring down WTC-7, which was the command center, because we know that on the 23rd floor of that building was Rudolph Giuliani's emergency bunker, right?
Right.
Well, this is where the command center was to bring down the Twin Towers. Well, what the executors wanted to do then was, as soon as the towers came down, they wanted to exit WTC-7 and then bring that building down also. But what happened was is that there was a malfunction. Either the wiring was wrong, either the computer technology was wrong. Something happened that they had to go back into the building, they had to rewire it, rehook up the computers, and only at 5:20 p.m. did this building fall. The only problem was, George, there was no more smoke enveloping Lower Manhattan. So there were cameras there that actually caught this building, and it only took 6.6 seconds to fall into its own footprints.
You're telling me that fires didn't bring the towers down. You're telling me plane impact didn't bring the towers down. You're telling me three skyscrapers fell on the same day and our government was involved.
George, never before in the history of the world has steel buildings fallen or collapsed due to fire.
Well, you know what I'm going to say. Oh!
George, what is it?
Shadow rodent. I just saw a shadow rodent.
George!
Oh, my God.
George, there's no such thing as shadow rodents.
George,
there's no such thing as shadow rodents.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
George! Folks, I apologize.
Oh.
I just had to crack George's head against the wall a couple times to bring him back to reality here. George,
sorry about that,
are you all right?
I think I'm bleeding.
George, let me explain to you. There is no such thing.
Didn't you see it? Didn't you see it?
George, I'm sitting right beside you in the studio. There are no such thing as shadow rodents. Well, you better get a bandage for some. I'm sorry for hitting you so hard.
Wow.
George, are you all right?
I think so. Sorry about that, folks. These things happen. Anyway, let's get back to the interview. I really want to know, I have to ask you this. Where's your evidence?
Well, the best answer to that is, we would love to be able to present tons of evidence. But what was the first thing that the government did immediately after the Twin Towers fell to the ground? Were they trying to go in there to rescue people? Were they doing a search operation to see if there were any live people still in there? No. Their first and primary goal was to destroy the evidence and get rid of it. That was their primary objective. Now, Professor Stephen E. Jones is actually working on something right now where hopefully we can get this physical evidence. But, George...
Well, it's my understanding that not all of the beams were trucked off to China, and that some of these beams still exist, and there's a possibility that in the future some of them may be retested.
Right.
Is
that
correct?
That's absolutely correct. And also, all we have to do is use the laws of physics to prove our case. Now, George, let me ask you a question. Hmm. Do the laws of physics change on a day-to-day basis?
Well, no.
You're right.
They are immutable.
That's right. The laws of nature are fixed. In other words, you don't have gravity one day and then not have gravity the next day. There's always gravity. There's always physics. There's always the laws of nature. So...
But let me interrupt you for a second, Professor Fetzer. If we are to believe that our government was directly involved in masterminding, carrying out, and covering up the events of 9/11, aren't we then not patriotic?
No, that's absolutely incorrect.
Well, the president would say that we are.
You're right. He did come out there, and he said, don't believe or don't listen to any conspiracy theories. Now, I feel that the most patriotic thing a person can do is seek the truth. Seek the truth about what's happening in their country. And, George, anyone that labels someone unpatriotic, a conspiracy theorist, unfaithful to their country, or any of these other labels, these tin foil hat wearers, they're actually the ones that are unpatriotic to their country, because if they're not man enough, and earlier you said, why doesn't the mainstream media look into this? This is one of the biggest slaps in the face ever in the history of this country, how our mainstream media, our corporate-owned media, won't look into this. And you know, another thing, George, that I have to say, I'm a Democrat. Jim Fetzer, professor of philosophy, I lean to the left, and I am absolutely, positively disgusted, not only with the liberal media in this country, but also the alternative media that leans to the left, that has absolutely, positively refused to look into this. And I could mention quite a few individuals and websites. I know we're getting close to the break right now, George, but I'm very, very sickened by the left alternative media because I consider them cowards.
What do you hope to result from the formation of your group and hammering away at what you consider the more likely hypothesis?
That's a
for
great,
what happened.
Great question, George. We've seen now for the last 4.5 years a lot of research, a lot of articles written, a lot of interviews given. Right now, we know the truth. We know that this was a government plan, black operation, that the government was behind 9/11. Right now, we have two primary objectives with Scholars for 9/11 Truth. Number one, we want to get this case into a court of law. And George, we want prosecutions. We want the guilty to be brought to justice. We want them imprisoned. And I'll go so far as to say that we seek the death penalty for the people that were responsible for 9/11. And secondly, we want a huge gathering this September 11th for the 5th anniversary.
Where at?
At Ground Zero. George, where's the emotional epicenter of 9/11?
I suppose a lot of people would say ground zero.
George, we want everybody listening to this show tonight. There's 9 or 10 million listeners. We want every single one of them to get to ground zero on September 11th. It's the 5th anniversary. Time is running out.
Aren't you asking people to stick their necks out on the line?
I absolutely am. And if there isn't one thing in the world that they're willing to stick their neck out about, if it's not 9/11, then what are they willing to stick their neck out about? George, I would like to see
ghosts,
you, George.
Ghosts, UFOs, shadow rodents.
George, don't be facetious. I would like to see you, George Norrie. I would like to see you at Ground Zero for the 5th anniversary.
I don't think Art would like that very much.
I would like to see Art Bell there, George Norrie, Ian Punnett, and every single listener to Coast AM, because this is the most important event of the 21st century, and if we don't give a damn about that, what do we give a damn about? I, Jim Fetzer, am going to be at Ground Zero. We're urging every single member of Scholars for 9/11 Truth to be at Ground Zero, and we're urging every single member of the alternative media and those who read the articles and listen to the shows to be at Ground Zero. If we can get thousands or tens of thousands of people at Ground Zero, it's going to have an impact, and there's going to be a strong, unanimous voice saying, "We're sick and tired of your lies, you bloodthirsty bastards."
Well, you've certainly given us a lot to think about, Professor Fetzer. We thank you for coming on. We're going to go to a break right now, and when we return, we'll continue with this discussion with Professor James Fetzer. See you after the break.